If you'd like, you can turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 6 and verse 45. There's also some of the other Gospels have the story of Jesus on the water and Peter, but we're going to focus in the book of Mark today, and we're going to start down in verse 48. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. And let's just take a brief look as we enter into this really familiar story. And again, ask the Lord to speak to your heart today about believing him. Lord says in verse 48, and he saw them, or Mark says, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and he saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Today, what I want to talk a little bit about and think about is the idea of being tested. Have you ever been tested or ever felt like the Lord tested you? Right? There's a difference between being tempted and tested, right? The devil tempts. The devil would do things to you to tear you down, but God does things to you to build you up. So that is the difference today. Well, as we get started, I want to share, it's a little lengthy, but it's a really good story. Some of you probably heard it before, but I really enjoy this as we think about getting ready for the test. The setting here is Ohio State University a few years ago in a huge lecture hall. And in this lecture hall was probably 1,000 students. I can't imagine being in a classroom with 1,000 other students. But in those big universities, sometimes that's how it is. They were gathered together for a calculus final. Apparently, this particular calculus teacher was not very well liked. He was one of those guys who would stand at the front of the class and yell out how much time was remaining before the end of a test, a real charmer. Since he was so busy gallivanting around the room, making sure that nobody cheated and that everyone was aware of how much time they had left before their failure on the test was complete, he had the students stack the completed tests on the huge podium at the front of the room. This made for quite a mess. Remember, there are 1,000 students in the class. During this particular final, one guy entered the test needing a decent grade to pass the class. His only problem with calculus was that he did poorly when rushed. And this teacher standing in the front of the room barking out how much time was left before the test had to be handled, it didn't help him at all. He figured he wanted to assure himself of a good grade, so he hardly flinched when the professor said, pencils down and submit your Scantron sheets and work to piles in the front of the room. 5 minutes turned to 10, 10 to 20, 20 into 40. Almost an hour after the test was officially over, our friend finally put down his pencil, gathered up his work, and headed to the front of the hall to submit his final. The whole time, the professor sat at the front of the room, strangely waiting for the student to complete his exam. What do you think you're doing? The professor asked as the student stood in front of him about to put down his exam on one of the neatly stacked piles of exams. The professor had plenty of time to stack the mountain of papers while he waited. It was clear that the professor had waited only to give the student a hard time. I'm turning in my exam, retorted the student confidently. I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, the professor gloated. Your exam is an hour late, you failed it, and consequently, I'll see you next term when you repeat my course. The student smiled slyly, and he asked the professor, do you know who I am? What? Replied the professor gruffly. Annoyed, the student showed no sign of emotion. The student rephrased the question mockingly. Do you know what my name is? No, snarled the professor. The student looked the professor dead in the eyes and said slowly, I didn't think so, as he lifted up one of the stacks halfway and he shoved his test neatly into the center of the stack. He set the stack fail, burying the test in the middle, turned around and walked casually out of the huge lecture hall. I don't know if that was a test for the student or a test for the teacher, right? That was pretty good thinking on the student part, right? Test. Some of you today, I would say, the Lord is allowing you to be tested. And it could be a lot of things, Ken, right? For some of us, it's relationships. It can be people in our life, or it can be people that we're missing in our life. That can be a test. For some of us today, it can be financial issues, and we always have to deal with those things, right? Even if we have money, making the best decisions with our money can be tricky. For some of us today, it can be health needs. And so many of you in this room that I'm looking at right now, you're dealing with health issues. And that can really be a test, can't you, right? Today, these words, they just keep echoing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. So today, as we enter into the test, ask the Lord to increase your faith. Let's look in the passage here at Mark, and I think you'll learn some things or be reminded of things that you already know that are good as we are dealing with being tested. Go back to verse 45, and the first thing I want to remind you today is that the Lord does things in His time. Again, we saw on Wednesday night that Peter says 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. The Lord's time is very much different than ours. So look in verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. And after leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. Now, if you know this time in Jesus' ministry, He has just fed the 5,000. And those 5,000 people that He just fed, they were ready to make Him king. Real quickly, if you want to turn, John chapter 6. Or you can follow up on the screen as well. John chapter 6. Again, this is right before where Jesus is about to walk on the water. John 6, 13, John writes, "And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.'" And Jesus, in verse 15, knowing that they intended to come and make Him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by Himself. The disciples and here the people that were fed, what are they wanting to do? They're still wanting to make Jesus king. Because of where the disciples were and their understanding, Jesus is about to send them on a test mission. Get ready. He goes up to pray, and probably praying for His disciples and for their understanding, and maybe for the people who wanted to make Him king. And again, I want you to see that Jesus does things in His time. The disciples wanted to rest, and Jesus said, "No, we're going to feed 5,000 people." The 5,000 people want to make Jesus king, and instead, Jesus leaves them, and He goes up on the mountain to pray. He will accomplish His Father's will in the right time, and we should patiently seek to do the same. This is hard for me. I want things done in my timing. And God says, "I'm going to do things in my time, but you have to trust me." So my challenge first off this morning is don't rush into it. Don't drag your feet either, but seek the Lord's will for His timing. And you're in the test. Again, believe and trust and seek the Lord's will for the timing. Jesus put His disciples to the test to increase their knowledge of Him, and I believe He is doing the same today. And of course, some things God puts in our path that we may walk closer and cleave tighter to the King. Well, let's look at the test. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 6, and we're going to go down to verse 47. Facing the test, Mark chapter 6, verse 47. "Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on land, and He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them." In verse 49, "But when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw Him and were terrified. And immediately He spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" This time, in the storm, the disciples are all alone. Jesus isn't with them, right? You guys know the other story, right? Jesus, when He calms the storm, He's in the boat and He says, "Why are you afraid? Where, oh, you have little faith, why don't you trust me? I made the H and the 2 and the O, I put it together." But here, they are all by themselves. Now, are they completely by themselves? The Lord is watching over their every move, right? Even here we see that He's watching them. And I would encourage you today that in your testing, in your trial, the Lord is watching you. You may feel alone, And the Lord may put you out to be a little bit alone so that hopefully you can pass the test and you can grow from the experience. In technology, I call that letting the other person drive. This morning, since Miss Diane is out, Mrs. Penn is driving the computers upstairs. And if you'll notice on the background projector, things are not exactly perfect. I don't know who adjusted them. Someone did adjust them, and we tried to put them back. And it took everything within your pastor to not go and drive the computer up there. But because I know she would learn it, she would figure it out, and she did. She did just fine. But I had to let her to learn, right? Do you ever have a hard time letting people learn? I'll just do that myself. I'll take care of it. Get out of the way. I can do that in 5 seconds. I don't have 10 minutes to teach you something that I can do in 5 seconds. And you would think I would learn because this really is my job that I work at, is to build capacity in the people that I am working with. And what's amazing is once you do build capacity, it's incredible. Michael's running the Zoom today. Roger was running the Zoom for us. I used to have to do all that and to do that. Miss Ida, she picked out songs for like 4 or 5 months for us, which was awesome. I didn't have to do that. It's amazing if you will allow people to learn and to grow. And Jesus here is doing that for his disciples. But for them, it feels like a test. The disciples had made it probably about 3.5 miles across the lake when they ran into trouble. John chapter 6 tells us 20 or 30 furlongs. Now, again, you have to deal in the culture that you're in. And Jewish superstition held that spirits came in the night to bring great trouble. And so before you condemn the disciples too hard, remember who's in the boat. At least we know Peter, James, and John. What do they do for a living? They rowed boats, right? I mean, they knew the water. They've been on some storms. They've been in through the waves. They know the stuff. Well, this again is a crazy storm. You could imagine being in the middle of the lake on a boat, not sure if the boat's going to flip. And then all of a sudden, this something, this person being thing is doing something you have never seen before, and they are walking on the water. Yeah, I might start believing in ghosts too, right? So that is what they're thinking. Early in the morning, probably somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus comes to them, and the way I would just simply say the disciples were scared out of their wits. Have you ever been that scared? Right? They thought this was it, and they didn't know what they're about to face. Well, here was the test, is what I want to challenge you again today, encourage myself to. They were supposed to know that God would provide their needs in Christ. They were supposed to see that Jesus was truly the Son of God. They were supposed to be seeking the Lord in difficult and tough times, and they were supposed to recognize their master when he came to help them. Very simply, they were supposed to believe. That's the test. Go back through those things we just talked about a little bit, right? Could be your relationships. It could be your finances. It could be your health situation. Probably even the harder thing is if any of those things are with the people that we love as much as it is us, right? If it's our kids or our family that's going through that stuff, it makes it even harder. And again, the Lord is reminding us, do you trust me? Will you believe in me? Have you faced any tests lately? Sunday morning, if you will, is the seminar or the classroom. And I know you, so make sure you turn in your paper on time. But the test comes in the real world experience. And I would ask you today, how are you doing on the test? Well, our job is to learn from the greatest teacher, to learn from the master. Look in Mark chapter 6, verse 50. Part B, Mark chapter 6, verse 50. Immediately, Jesus, he spoke to them and he said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, this is what I love about the Lord. The Lord sees and he knows their fears, and yet he speaks to them compassionately. Like the first thing out of his mouth could have been like, oh, you have little faith. But that's not what he did, right? He saw that they were terrified and he said, take courage, hang in there. It's okay. It's just me. Don't be afraid. And it's at this point in the book of Matthew where we get the a tempting of walking on water by Peter. So if you like, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. Peter, in verse 28, he says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Now, some of you are really hard on Peter, but I would say Peter may have a little faith, but at least he has a little. Right? Don't be afraid, just believe. Peter calls out to get permission from the Lord. He receives permission. He gets out of the boat in the middle of the storm. He's crazy, right? I don't know. I've been in the storm, in the boat, and I've been when the boat went all the way down to the bottom of the lake, and my dad and I rode home with a boat trailer with no boat on it. So I'm just telling you, I know a little bit about being in storms, in boats, and knowing how things can sink. Peter, "Lord, if it is you, then show yourself by letting me walk on this water." He gets out of the boat. And here's what I think a lot of us, the Lord, if he were here today, he'd be telling us to get out of the boat. What's the boat? To me, the boat is routine, right? How many of you are already really stuck in your routine? I was just thinking about a lot this week. I find such comfort in my routine. And if my routine is disturbed, I'm in trouble. I'm like, I'm really becoming an old person. When I was younger, I love new things. I love different things. But we can get stuck in our routine. And I would tell you today that I think part of what Peter did and what we really appreciate about him is he was willing to come out of his routine. He was willing to be flexible depending on the situation. And I appreciate today, especially Wendy and Michael, who have stepped up in a kind of a crazy day, and they're willing to be flexible. But what we need to do is we need to be walking close enough to the Lord with the Holy Spirit at our side that when an opportunity presents itself, that we can get out of the boat and be a witness and be an encouragement and be a light instead of just like, well, it's not part of my routine. Peter gets out of the boat. And I would encourage you and I to do the same. Of course, he was fine until he started looking at his circumstances and looking away from the Lord. But he did cry out in faith, didn't he, right? I love that. He's crying out. I don't know if you guys have seen the picture. I've showed it in previous times. I've seen this picture where you can tell Peter is underneath the water and he's looking up and he sees Jesus standing on the water and he's reaching up and Jesus is reaching down. He knew where to find his help. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Man, I need that today. Sometimes you're going to fall. Sometimes the circumstances are going to come around you and you're going to take your eyes off the Lord and you're going to be like, I don't know what to do. But Peter did know what to do, didn't he? He knew where to cry. Lord, save me. What did the Lord do? He delivered. Oh, that's awesome. Even in your failure, the Lord can make his name great and he'll sustain you when your cry is to him. I beg of you, when you fail, if you fail this week, cry out to the Lord. At the same time, of course, the Lord does rebuke him and he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you trust me? As he pulls him out. If Peter had little faith, well, what about the rest of the guys in the boat? Here's what I want you to think about with me just for a little bit. I always like thinking about this idea. Where would you have been if you had been one of the disciples? Would you be in the boat or on the water? Let me give you a few examples to think about. What do you think Thomas would have been saying? I knew he wouldn't last long, right? Some would doubt. Someone else probably would have said how foolish it was to even get out of the boat. Why didn't he stay in the boat? That's where they'd always been before, and that's always what worked for them before. Just do what you know, right? Some of them would have secretly wished that they had the guts to get out of the boat. Oh, man. You mean I could have walked on water? I don't want to be that person today, do you? You see people that are so, their faith is so great, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And sometimes we secretly wish we could do that. Well, we can do that with the power of the Lord. Some would have been jealous that Peter actually walked out of the water. And one of them most certainly would have thought, if I had gotten out of the boat, I would never have sunk. I would have kept my eyes on Jesus. Right? You know who that person is, right? Well, if I had done it, I wouldn't have fallen. Which disciple are you? I'm challenging you again this morning. Get out of the routine. Follow the Holy Spirit. See where he leads. And as you have opportunity, get out of the boat. And sometimes you're going to fall down. And this is for me as much as it is any of you. Don't worry about falling down. Get out of the boat. The Lord will save you. Keep your eyes on him. Get out of the boat. Again, I encourage you today, when the Lord answers, when he calls you, will you answer his call? So the Lord's lesson very simply is to trust. And again, we're not just trusting any person or any man. This is the Son of God. And here for the disciples, he's the one who just fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. And now he has walked on water. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Master, the Lord Jesus, put his trust in the Father at all times, and he teaches us to do the same. Is your faith being tested? Will you get out of the boat? The Lord's speaking to me today. Well, let's see about the lesson that they learned. We'll finish up here this morning. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 51. Then he climbed in the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely what? They were amazed. Right? They were amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. That may go back to your Sunday school lesson a little bit this morning, right? When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and they anchored there, and as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They had missed the point of the last lesson, the feeding of the 5,000, probably because they were tired, probably because they were ready to go home, and because their hearts were hardened. They should have realized that Jesus was the Son of God, able by faith to feed 5,000 hungry men and their families. They were also to realize that Jesus had not come to set up an earthly kingdom, but to feed them the bread of life. And when they were put to the test of faith, they failed. But Jesus didn't give up on them, and they began to understand. Back to Matthew chapter 14, verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat, what did they do? They passed the test. You get it? Again, the storm's raging, the winds are blowing. They think the Spirit's coming across the water. Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's I. Peter's like, if it's really you, call me to come out. Peter gets out. Peter's on the water. Jesus on the water. The disciples are like, what is going on? Peter starts to sink. They're probably worried. Is he going to die? Is he going to drown? He cries out. Jesus saves him. They both walk from the water and they get into the boat. And the other disciples, all of a sudden, it all starts making sense. It starts clicking. Truly, you are the Son of God. And they worshiped him. And I would tell you folks today, that's the purpose of the testing. The Lord brings us through the test, ultimately, that we would grow in him and that we would worship him, because we would know him. We would know his power. We would know his desire for us and for all people, and we would worship him. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And now they just had to learn to trust him. Do you trust him today? I was talking with the boys in Sunday school today. We did the 10 plagues. How can you see 10 super specific miracles of God, survive the worst day ever with the death of the firstborn? You're going to get freedom, and then you just complain to Moses. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die? Right? Here, Peter, he walks on the water with Jesus. He literally walks on the water, and you're going to find in a few years, he says, I don't know that guy. I don't want anything to do with that guy. I've never been around him. He's nothing with me. And yet, what does the Lord do? Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Ask me a third time. Don't be afraid. Believe. Even in his failure, the Lord picks him up and delivers him to be one of the mightiest disciples of all. And he got out of the boat. Do you trust him? Are you passing or are you failing? This is from James Brown, Evangeline. Some years ago, when I was learning to fly, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep and extended dive, and I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen. After a brief time, the engine stalled, and the plane began to plunge out of control. It soon became evident that the instructor was not going to help me at all. After a few seconds, which seemed like eternity, my mind began to function again. I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor, and I began to vent my fearful frustrations on him. And he very calmly said to me, "There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again." And at that moment, God seemed to be saying to me, "Remember this, as you serve me, there is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you will be all right." And that lesson has been proved true in my ministry many times over the years. Today, the Lord keeps calling to us. He keeps calling to us. Don't be afraid. I know that you're facing tests. I'm just looking out here this morning as I see your faces. I think that the little bit that I know about your life, I know that, many of you are facing tests. But the Lord is calling you today. Trust me. Believe in me. There's nothing you can get into that I can't get you out of. Obey my voice. Make my name great here and through all the earth.